ahead and be turning your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Good morning. It's great to see everyone as usual. I love Sunday because we get to gather together and worship God together. We get to begin our week this way. Amen. I want to remind the leaders, we do have a meeting this afternoon at 5 p.m., all the family group leaders, shepherding couples, 5 p.m., usual place. And I want to introduce our summer interns to us. I'd like for Kendall Albert and Vaishon Beatty to stand up. They're going to be helping out with the teens during the summer. James chapter 4. We're going to look at a few verses this morning, but there's a lot in here. Beginning verse 13. Now listen. When the Bible says listen, we need to listen. It's about to tell us something very, very important. In some of your versions, it says, now come on. Now listen. You who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. The title of today's lesson is a very simple one. Is God in the plan? That's what these few verses talk about. Is God in the plan? You know, Proverbs 16 verse 9, the Bible says, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Proverbs 16 verse 9. In Proverbs 19 verse 21, the Bible says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. We all make plans. How many of you have summer plans? Come on. Okay. We all have plans. We have plans of what we're going to do this week. We plan to go to college. We plan to get married. We plan to start a family. You need to think about that one real quick. And well. Because once the kids come, like I always say, you can't send them back. Okay? It's awesome to have a family, but you got to think it through. Amen? But we have plans. It's great to have plans. That's not what the Bible is talking about this morning. The problem is making plans and not thinking about the future. There is a right way to make plans and there is a wrong way to make plans. That's what James is addressing in this short passage. You know, there's only one person that knows the future. And that's the God and the Father you and I call God. And it's very important that as we make plans, we make sure that He's in the picture because He already sees the future. He knows the future. He is the future. Are you listening to me? But you see, a lot of times we make plans and God is not involved. And then we wonder what happened. You know, we make plans and things don't work out the way we want them to. And then we start crying, God, how did you let this happen? Why didn't you stop me? Those were your plans. You made those plans. Now you expect God to come up and clean up the mess.
It don't work that way.
Amen? We got to make sure that God is involved. You know, death always reminds us that we're not in control. When somebody passes, especially a famous person, you realize that, you know what? I'm not in control of my own destiny. Because one day is guaranteed. One day you're not going to wake up on this side of eternity. You can mark that one down. Okay? One day I'm going to be gone. One day you're going to be gone. And it helps us to realize that we're not in control. And that fact alone should humble us to make sure that we carry God along. Amen? That we don't make plans and say, okay, now God bless my plans. It shouldn't work that way. And we're going to talk about that some this morning. But you see, we got to make sure that God is always involved, because you know what? Our lives on this earth, like it says here, is just to me. It says, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. You are a mist, the Bible says. I am a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. I don't know about you, this is very humbling. Okay? I got a little spray here. I hope you can see. That's it. That's my life. That's your life. It's gone. Our lives on this earth, when you compare it to eternity, you can't even say it. That's it. This is it. You can't see it anymore. It's over with. And that's why we got to make sure that God is involved, even in this little vanishing stuff. Are you with me? That's what James is talking about here. Let's talk about, first, the right way to plan. Okay? What is the right way to plan? In a matter of speaking, it's submitting to God's will. It is submitting our plans to the will of God. Making plans contingent to God's approval. You know, Paul did this in Acts chapter 18, verse 21. He was talking to the church in Ephesus, Acts 18, 21. He says, I will come back if it is the Lord's will. He understood that God was in control of his life. Are you with me? You see, when you look at somebody and say, hey, bro, I'll see you next week. It needs to be, Lord willing, I'll see you next week. Amen? You see, that's the right way to make plans. You remember Jesus in the Garden of Eden? In the Garden of Gethsemane. That's the ultimate. Where he didn't want to go to the cross. He was going to be separated from God for the first time in his life. The Bible teaches that he and God were always being together, even from the beginning. And on the cross, he became sin for us. Sin separates us from God. He was going to experience something he had never experienced before in eternity. And he says, God, is there another way? And God says, nope, there's no other way. Three times the Bible says he prays. It says, not my will, but your will be done. And he went to the cross. And as a result, today, you and I, we've been adopted into God's family. Amen? You see, that is making plans and submitting it to the will of God. Amen? That's the way we got to make plans. You see, God has a will for every single one of us. And sometimes he will intervene and stop us. He doesn't always do it, but he does. From time to time, he will intervene. You know, have you ever gone on a plane and you're trying to get somewhere and there's a flight delay? See, I think a lot of times, even people think, well, oh yeah, here we go again. We got another problem, you know, and you get agitated, you're all upset. Which one would you rather have? That plane take off and half an hour later drops out of the sky. It's amazing to me. You see people sitting down and they're complaining. You don't know what God is preventing. That's why, you know, you're going somewhere, there's a plane delay, you just need to be smiling and thanking your God. Because you don't know what he's saving you from. Sometimes you're driving somewhere, you're going cross country, and you're stuck in traffic. You have no idea what God has just prevented from keeping you in that traffic. Are you with me? See, and we got to see that. He does it every day. There are a lot of things that you and I cannot handle, and that's why they don't come our way. One day, hopefully, when we get to the other side, we're going to see all that stuff. But in the meantime, all we need to do is submit our will to God's will and not get agitated. I shared this before, and I'll share it again, because for me, it was so profound. When I look at my own life, God has done so much, showing me that, you know what, Richard, I'm the one that's in control. And you better trust me. You better hold on. I'm not going to explain everything to you and just, hey, I'm God and you're not. Be quiet. It's like, yes, Father. I got no problems with that. I shared this story a while back, but I'll share it again. I'll never forget it. My daughter Ashley had just been born. It was about 3-4 months later. And my wife Sarah, she was going to go visit the church in Addis Ababa. We were living in Nairobi, Kenya at the time. Because prior to that time, every time I went to Addis Ababa, I went alone. And the brothers and sisters finally said, you know what, we don't want to see you until we see your wife. You know, they were joking with me. Are you sure you're married? I said, yeah, of course I'm married. But so we decided Sarah was going to go visit the sisters. And lo and behold, she gets sick. She gets typhoid fever. Number one, typhoid fever is not even common in Kenya. We take her to the doctor. She's diagnosed with typhoid fever. We had booked the plane, tickets, everything. So I called the brothers. Sorry, guys. It's not happening. She can't come. She's sick in bed. A few days later, she's lying there, taking medication. I noticed that, you know, she breaks out with chickenpox. And so, wait a second. This is weird. I mean, I've never seen this combination: typhoid fever and chickenpox. And she came down with chickenpox. So she's in bed for about a week. And so I'm sitting there watching CNN one afternoon, and they were reporting how an Ethiopian Airlines flight had just been hijacked on the way back from Addis Ababa back to Nairobi, and it had plunged into the ocean. There was a couple sitting on the beach on their honeymoon and just happened to see the whole thing, put his video camera up, taped the whole thing. And I'm sitting there watching this stuff. That's when it dawned on me. That was exactly the flight that my wife would have been on if she was coming back from Addis Ababa. And I went in, Sarah was asleep, and I woke her up. I said, Sarah, I said, let me tell you why you were sick and you were in bed. Don't tell me that was accident. And I'm sure if you looked at your life, you're going to be able to see things like that. You see, but we got to make plans and make sure that God is in the picture. Amen? Do you want your plans to succeed? You've got to seek first to discern what God's will is. In Ephesians 5:17, write these verses down. God wants us to understand his will. That was one of the prayers that Paul prayed for the church in Ephesus. God wants us to understand his will. In Colossians 1:19, Paul says it again. He says, for us to be filled with the knowledge of his will. That ought to be something that we pray about constantly on a daily basis. Amen? Romans 12, verse 2. He says, to be able to test and approve his will, his good and perfect will. You see, we find God's revealed will in the Bible. It's right here. This book that you and I call the Bible. Here you will find God's revealed will. It's all here. It tells us the difference between right and wrong. Are you with me? When we know God's revealed will, we can plan and act accordingly. It's not rocket science. There are a lot of things that God has said, here's what I want you to do. For instance, God says a Christian marries a Christian. I'm using that as an example. That's God's revealed will.
If I'm a child of God, I am not going to go against that. Now, you can go against it, and there will be consequences. You alone will suffer. There's a price to be paid for that. God is not going to stand at the door of the courthouse or wherever, at the church, and stop you from doing it. Are you with me? Because His revealed will, He's right here. You know, I find this very interesting sometimes. You know, Christians, when they don't want to do what the Bible teaches, you know, you're talking to them, and they go, yeah, I'm studying this stuff out. You can study out all you want. Well, once God has spoken on the subject, it's very easy. Amen? God's revealed will is in the Bible, and we just need to sit down and follow it. You ignore it at your own peril. Now let's talk about God's permissive will. There's a difference. Now we're not talking about right and wrong. We're talking about matters of good and better. In other words, what's best in this situation? We do have a will. You know, the Bible does say, we looked at it this morning as Gary was talking about Genesis, that God created us in His image. The thing that makes us different from animals is the fact that we have a will. We can make decisions. Amen? But you see, the question is, what kind of decisions are you making? Is it good, better, or the best? And in that area, God will allow you to do stuff. That's His permissive will. He will allow things to happen. Are you with me? A lot of times we think, okay, you know, how come God didn't stop me from doing this? Could it be that God wants you to go through that and then learn some lessons? So that next time you won't do it that way? Amen? And that's why it's good when it comes to God's permissive will, to, quote unquote, to seek input from people that have been through what we're going through. Because it's not a question of right and wrong. It's a question of what's best. Are you with me? Okay, let me give you an example. Life insurance. You can study it out all you want in the Bible. You're not going to find anything on it. It's not there. Okay? Is it wise to have life insurance? The answer is yes. Especially if you have kids. Knowing that you don't know when God is going to take you from this earth. That's the only reason why you have life insurance. So that, okay, if the Lord decides tomorrow, Richard, your job on earth is done, come on home. My kids can go to college. Sarah can pay off the house. And not have to worry. That's the reason why you have life insurance. If you're 60-something and your kids have left the house, there's no reason to have life insurance. Except for maybe the funeral expenses. That's about it. And it's very expensive to die these days. I don't know if you've noticed. Some of these things, they're going to charge you $20,000, man. Like, you look at it, man, I can't even afford to die. $20,000 is a lot of money. Okay? But something like that, that's within God's permissive will. Amen? You're planning. So that, you know, this kid that's 4 years old and 5 years old or 6 years old, you know, if God does take the breadwinner out of the situation, your wife or your spouse is not going to suffer. That's a wise thing to do. Now you decide, I don't want life insurance. That's fine. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, if God takes your breadwinner out of the family, don't come crying to me. Because I don't have that kind of money. Well, Pastor, I need your help. Uh-oh, it's not happening. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm using that as an example. So, yes, you're planning for the future that is unknown, but that's a good thing. There's a correct way to do it, by seeking input. Amen? Now, please don't go buy life insurance from a company that's going to go under in the next 5 years, all right? There's some companies that have been around for a long time. And whatever it is you're putting in every month is safe.
Amen?
But they're little things that falls under God's permissive will. This is God's revealed will. It's like somebody saying, you know what? Well, I'm going to go drive my car. Let's assume you drive your car on top of this roof. Okay, it's pretty high up here. Let's assume you get the car on top there. And say, you know, I'm going to drive my car off. And God is going to catch me. Good luck. God is not going to stand there and stop you. You can do it. Okay? And you and your car, you're going to be a wreck. And I promise you, the insurance is not going to pay for it. Why? Because God has not promised he will catch you. Oh, but I have faith in God. That's fine. You can do it. I'm just going to step out of the way. And so, the point is, you can't do stuff under the permissive will and expect God to bail you out. Now, sometimes he will. But he doesn't promise it all the time. Are you with me? Because you and I, we've made a lot of mistakes in our lives. And sometimes, I believe, we learn more from the mistakes than we do the successes. That's God's permissive will. And that's why it's important that when we're talking about God's permissive will, I really believe that every Christian ought to ask themselves every single time. It's a very simple question. Father, what do you want me to do? He will reveal it to you. He always does. Whatever it is you're thinking about doing, whatever it is you're planning, ask yourself, is this decision going to draw me closer to God? Or is it going to affect my relationship with God? If you start there every time, you will never go wrong. Never. Amen? Let me repeat that because that's very, very important. God's permissive will. Always ask yourself, is this going to draw me closer to God? Or is it going to draw me away from God? I'll give you an example. You want to buy a house. There's nothing wrong with buying a house. The question is, where are you going to buy it? You find this 5,000 square foot house. That's a big house. But it's 2 hours from Atlanta. You like the outdoors, you got a lot of green, you got a lot of stuff out there. Man, I'm just going to live out here. Bro, I'm going to drive 2 hours to church every midweek. Don't worry about it, I'll be there. I've seen people make decisions like that. See, that's when I sit down and say, bro, this ain't going to work. This is not wise. Is it a sin to go buy a house 2 hours away from Atlanta? No. But if it's going to affect your relationship with God, I wouldn't do it. You're not going to be able to get to church. You're not going to be able to get with other brothers and sisters. Amen? Amen. And so, you don't go and live out 2 hours and expect to do well spiritually. I have seen people shipwreck their faith in the process. I can give you names if you want. It's not worth it. Amen? You see, that's under God's permissive will. You got to ask yourself, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is best in this area? And God will always show it to you. He always does. But if we will simply be honest with ourselves and start from, you know what? Is this going to draw me closer to God? Or is this going to affect my relationship with God? If you start from there every time, you will never go wrong. Same thing with accepting a job. Oh, Richard, the economy is tough. Life is tough. You know, I need to feed my family. I'm not denying any of that stuff. Are you going to have faith? Are you going to trust God to give you the job where he wants you to have? Where you walk in during the interview and say, you know what? Hey, I'm a Christian. Let me tell you that right off the bat. I go to church on Thursday night and I go to church on Sunday morning. And as a result of that, I ain't walking during those hours. Is that cool with you guys? That's cool. If God wants you to have that job, that's exactly what's going to happen. Again, I've seen people compromise. Say, you know, but I got to feed my family. And you're busy working when you're supposed to be worshiping God. I got a problem with that. There's a price. You are going to pay for that. Every single time I've seen it, there's a price to be paid. You're going to pay a price. You are going to pay a price for that. That's what I'm trying to say. Amen? But we always need to start by asking God, what is best here? Is this going to draw you closer to God or away from God? Amen? There's a wrong way to plan. That's what he talks about over here. Why? Because life is complex. Life is frail. Life is very brief. To plan this way is boastful and arrogant. Like, you know what? I got it all figured out. Next year, I'm going to do that. This year, I'm going to do this. Over here, I'm going to do this. And then this year, I'm going to do this. By the time I'm 50, I'm going to be this. By the time I'm... please. That's arrogance. That's boastful. We ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, amen, I will do this or that or this. Where are the young people in the house at? Where are you guys at? When I say young, I'm talking... not even teenagers. I'm talking like from 21 to like 33. Raise your hand. 21 to 33. Okay, put your hands down. All right? Phil Dawson is also raising his hand. He's a young man at heart. It's a heart that matters. We're talking about God's permissive will. Okay? I want to talk to young people for a second here, because by the time you guys get to 65, there's not going to be any social security. Okay? That's just a fact. The numbers are there. Okay? So what do? You need to start saving now. I can't believe I didn't get one amen. You need to start saving now. You know, there's something called compound interest. Compound interest is a good thing. Where your money works for you over time. Money basically doubles every 7 years. Okay? Regardless of how the market goes up or down, for the most part, money doubles every 7 years. Okay? And all I'm saying is, you got to start at a very young age saving for later on in life. Okay? What am I talking about? I'm talking about something as little as $200 every month. Just put it away. Don't spend it. Don't touch it. Just put it away. Just keep putting it away. Just keep putting it away. Now, don't go put it in some savings account. Okay? We can talk about that. You can talk to people that have financial backgrounds in here. That's not where to put your money. But just mutual funds, $200 every month. Every month. Every month. Just put it away. In your 20s, just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Automatically. Just do it. By the time you are 65 years old, I guarantee you, you will have millions saved up. Okay? Now, some of the kids are going, ooh, this is going to be nice. I'm going to get a lot of money to inherit. Oh, no. That money is for retirement. In the sense of, when I get to a certain age, you know, I just want to be able to pop on a plane and go somewhere. Go encourage some disciples somewhere. Yeah? I'm not going to leave this earth with it. I'm going to leave some of that money to my grandkids. And I'm going to leave a lot of it to the church. So that they can continue to preach the word. Okay? So I'm sorry. That money ain't coming to you. You're thinking, oh yeah, he's saving money, so I'm going to be a millionaire. Oh, it's not happening. Because again, why? If you look at kids, that their parents are very wealthy and they inherited a lot of money, that money ends up wrecking their lives because you don't know how to spend money you didn't work for. It's a very simple thing. The Bible talks about it. That's why it's not wise to, okay, you've accumulated all this wealth and just leave it to your son or to your daughter when they did not work for it. happen when he's going to mess them up? Why do you think, you look at all these quote-unquote Hollywood stars, all their kids, for the most part, are a mess. Because if you haven't worked for something, you don't know how to handle it. Okay? Now, again, I'm not saying, oh, wow, Mr. Richards got me thinking, I'm going to start doing this so I can become a millionaire. You're missing the point. But in time, believe me, that money will be billions of dollars. And you're not going to be waiting for Uncle Sam to send you a check every month so that you can pay your hospital bills. Are you with me? You see, that's the advantage you young folks have. Take advantage of it. I'm still a young guy. I'm almost 48. I still consider myself a young guy. I feel 25 on the inside, but it's okay. But I still consider myself a young guy. I got a few years to go. God willing. Amen. But it's planning in accordance with God's will. That even within the permissive will of God, you give God room to work. That's what we are talking about. Amen? In other words, Lord, I am open to whatever you decide. That's what we all need to get to. Amen? Write this verse down. This is where we're going to end. Proverbs 16, verse 3. It says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. In other words, bring your plans within the revealed and permissive will of God, and your plans will succeed. Amen? God will bless it. Include God in your planning. Ask for the Holy Spirit to direct you. That's one of the things I love about being a Christian. You see, the Holy Spirit will never direct you to go in a different direction than God wants. Sometimes we suppress and we don't listen to that Spirit. And we go and do something outside, and we always get in trouble every single time. But we got God's Spirit in us, directing us, telling us which way to go. I was talking to a brother just the other day. You know, we're coming out, quote-unquote, out of the financial meltdown. And he's retired, and I said, bro, I hope all this financial downturn has not affected you. He goes, Richard, he was gone. I said, what are you talking about? I cashed out just before everything crashed. That cashed out. I was like, good for you. So as, you know, a lot of us, we saw our portfolio go down by 50%. He didn't experience any of that. He's a very spiritual brother. He's an elder. Not in this church, but he's an elder. I don't believe that was accident. We got to listen to the Holy Spirit that's living inside of us. Okay? Now, that works for him. That doesn't mean that's going to work for you. You got to listen to the Spirit of God that's living inside of you, directing you. Amen? But there's God's revealed will, and there's God's permissive will. Let's stop boasting and bragging as if we're guaranteed tomorrow. Let's make sure that God is involved in everything that we're doing. Amen? God bless you. We're going to close out with a word of prayer, and that'll be our service this morning. God bless you all.